Time to get in touch with the man who knows the heavens, David Renicky. Hello, sir.
Okay, good to be with you again.
Check out davidrenicky.com. There's some really cool stories on there. One thing I want to talk to you about, and it's old news now, but is the Neil Armstrong biopic. I'm not sure if you call it that, but First Man, everyone's been raving about it. Now you've seen the evidence, David.
Well, look, biopic is not a bad description of it. In fact, it wasn't meant to be, but it's more a story of the man than the mission. And I've got to say to you that, you know, having seen this movie, with a certain amount of reservation, I might add, I was pleasantly surprised.
Why reservation?
Well, because usually when they do these sort of things and recreate history like that, they use a lot of artistic license.
Okay.
And I was worried that it may be a little bit embellished, but it wasn't. It was actually right to the money.
Can they refer to his daughter's death? That was a big thing, I
think. Yeah, that was a big thing for him. He lost his young daughter when she was only 3 years of age, Karen. And him and his wife, played by Claire Foy as Janet, magnificent portrayal. Absolutely, right to the point of what she was like, you know.
Yeah.
But they did split up years later. His marriage lasted over 30 years. He was a hard man to work with. He was, well, not to live with at home. He wasn't there. He was emotionally unavailable in the marriage, as she said later. But the loss of the daughter was a big thing for him, and the little daughter had a bracelet. Now, that's, for those that haven't seen the movie, I'm not going to spoil it, but the bracelet is an integral part of this movie. It becomes evident right at the end of the film. So, but go and have a look at it. It's more about him, the way that he interacted with his family, the type of man he was, and the mission itself was recreated. I think the part to me that I liked the most was right near the end when they recreated the moon landing. Now, if you could have been there with the modern technology we've got now, with the cameras we've got, that's how it would have been. It was so well done. When that left foot came down on the moon, I thought, yeah, that's how it would. Yeah. If we were standing right next to Neil as he did it, that's what you'd see. And when they had the panorama, they panned around the moonscape that they built. It was absolutely, it sent a tingle down my back, and I thought, that's exactly how it described. No wonder Aldrin, when he was asked what he was looking at by Mission Control, he said, desolation, magnificent desolation. And that term, by the way, magnificent desolation, was used a few years later in a video that NASA put out about the moon landing again. Been done so many times before, but this movie is one thing that's special. It's special because it covers an era and a part of history that most of us lived through and watched it happen.
Now,
so go and watch it.
It's now, good. You say the last bit where they are on the moon is so close to real, it's not funny. You can imagine in 50 years' time when those conspiracy theorists are still beating on about the moon landing being fake, they'll be using excerpts from that movie.
There's something about that movie that you've got to watch too now. It is mentioned. It is mentioned in the narrative.
Yeah.
You can hear it on the radio in the background. But I will say, keep an ear out for it. When the moon landing took place, they come back to, I think, the house scene where Janet and the other people are listening to it on the radio. And if this really happened, the day that Armstrong walked on the moon, that hour, in fact, somebody went to Arlington National Cemetery in America and placed a bouquet of flowers on JFK's grave.
Right.
With a little note that said, "Mr. President, the eagle has landed."
Oh, wow.
Interesting little touch, isn't it?
That would make my heart go into my mouth. Because for JFK, that was his ultimate goal of his presidency.
Yeah, he was the one that said,
"Wow,
we're going to go to the moon and do the other things." Not because they're easy, but because they're hard, you know. But look, with the little bangle, Armstrong had time on the moon, and so did Aldrin, to just take it in. They had maybe 10 or 15 minutes where they could walk around and do what they wanted to. Of course, they had the mission was there to do. They had a set number of things to do. And by the way, on the cuff of each spacesuit was written all the instructions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're still on the spacesuit. You can see them in the Smithsonian.
Yeah, okay.
They're all written down what time they had to do. They're only out on the surface for 2 hours. But watch for the part where he stands near a deep crater and looks down.
Wow.
And this is where the bangle comes in.
Okay.
Whether it really happened or not, we don't know.
Oh, it's probably artistic license, but it makes a good hook point.
No, maybe not. Because his wife, Janet, was asked about that, and she said, you know what? She said, that wouldn't be, it would be something that Neil would have done. She said, I don't know about it. but it could have happened. So who knows? But if you haven't seen the movie, folks, go and look at it. In my opinion, and not because I'm biased, I do look at these things fairly with a fairly jaundiced view, in fact, before I see them. But in my opinion, this is one of the top five movies that I've ever seen. I liked it because it was so close to reality.
Check out First Man when you get a chance. David loves it, and you probably will too, especially if you're into what we talk about. And speaking of that, I'm loving this story. China wants to launch all these artificial moons to what? To do what?
No, this is absolutely... This would be the most audacious and arrogant mission that I've ever heard of. I hope it doesn't work. I hope they fall out of the sky. China want to put three moons in orbit around the Earth, in artificial moons.
Ah.
One they've made themselves. Now, the reason they want to do that, they claim, is to save many millions of dollars on lighting up a city called Chengdu.
Yeah, but how many millions are they going to spend putting these moons into orbit? How does that work?
Well, it's going to be amount to light pollution, in my opinion.
Yes.
But three of these moons orbiting overhead there, eight times brighter than the real moon, to me, is smack dab in the middle of light pollution. I mean, what about all those folks who want to get a night's sleep? This thing's going to be pounding down on them. What about the little animals, little nocturnal animals? So my point of view here is, why do that for a little town, one single town, when the whole area that's going to be covered is going to be up to 80K? Sure, they say that they can adjust the light values and turn it on and off when they want to, and the satellite will be overhead in what's called geostationary orbit. So it won't be orbiting the Earth over other cities. It'll just sit there. But if they want to save millions of dollars in power, how much is a mission going to cost for a start?
Exactly.
And why not use solar energy? Yeah, it's free.
China's got too much money to waste, Dave.
I don't know. Look, I think it's a silly idea. Yeah. Russia tried to do this many years ago in 1999. They had a 25-metre mirror they wanted to put in orbit around the Earth, but it never eventuated.
You know, China will get it shattered down, no doubt, but it's a good theory. Another crackpot idea from NASA. We know Venus isn't that hospitable, but there's a plan to have us living in what, airships?
Oh, this can't happen. Floating airships in the atmosphere of Venus is just crazy. I mean, it's like having a pet shark, you know, and patting it and saying, well, I'm only patting it on the head, I'm not patting it on the teeth. Goodness me, this place will kill you and kill you very quickly.
Yeah.
Venus is the most dangerous planet in the solar system. Give you some idea, it's got volcanic activity going on, sulfur dioxide, poisonous clouds, temperature of 900 degrees Fahrenheit, pressure 90 times what we have here. And NASA seem to think we can live in the clouds there. Floating cities floating high above Venus's atmosphere.
Yeah, NASA's got its head in the clouds, I think. Yeah.
I think this money would be better spent, and the whole idea and the planning better spent on a moon base or a Mars base, things like that. I mean, would you want to go to the... What's the point of it? It just doesn't make... Look, I don't... It must be the week of silly stories, but it's part of what's called NASA's Advanced Concepts division. So there are people there who are looking a little bit far ahead. I think there's a little bit too far.
I think it's people trying to justify their paycheck, don't
you? I think it's crazy. Anyway, look, a lot more things happen. There's a meteor shower on too at the moment.
Yeah.
So if you want to get out there in the early hours of the morning, you just might see a few meteors.
What's that one, the Pleiades, is it?
Called the Orion. It comes from the constellation the Orion. And if you don't know where that is, just go and have a look directly overhead. In the early hours of the morning, look for the constellation we call the Saucepan.
And if you're not sure about where to look, there's a great little program, isn't there, David, that can put a star map on your PC?
Yeah, that's what I like to tell people. It's called the Star Chart, STARCHART. If anyone listening wants to get that and download it, it is free, STARCHART. What you're looking for is a little blue background with a white picture of Saturn. Just a diagram or a drawing of Saturn over the top. I like it because, A, it's accurate. You point it to something in the sky, and it should be directly on the screen in front of you. And, B, it's so simple to use. So Star Chart's the one we recommend for novices to go out there. If you want to go a little bit more advanced, try a program called Stellarium, STELLARIUM, a magic program for PC as well, and on an iPad or whatever, it still fits. But Stellarium, STELLARIUM, will allow you to go forward and backward in time and recreate the night sky wherever you want to at any point in history. Plus, it'll give you a realistic background on the screen of the you know, the earth below you, the trees and the grass and everything. I like it. There are two, but star charts are the one we use when we're out in the field.
One more thing, David. This is exciting, and maybe I missed the boat on this. Richard Branson saying we'll be in space within weeks. Does that mean by Christmas we'll have something up there on the moon? Is that the
idea? He's got to come out with something, and he's come out with this amazing claim now that we've heard so many times before. And everyone's saying, let's do it. He claims that Virgin Galactic is ready to fly in a matter of weeks. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. It'll be in the new year. He claims that he's going to be on board, him and his family. But he better hurry up because there's a lot of competition with SpaceX behind him.
Yeah.
Boeing is there. Blue Origin is there as well. So Branson is now saying, in effect, what he's telling us is that his Spaceship 2 is ready. It's fueled. It's almost ready to take paying passengers into space. So I think next year, we're going to see the advent next year. It won't be this year, but somewhere through 2019 will be the real start, the true start to space tourism.
Yeah, and that would be nice too. It's just a nice little way to get the new year started and will make life even more exciting for you and I. So.
Yeah.
Astro Dave Renicki, check out the website davidrenicki.com, up now on our Facebook page and websites. The links, follow them for even more details on the stories. Till next week, David.
Talk to you then.